the Mexican film industry has a rich history that produced both acknowledged classics during its golden age, as well as notorious B-movies in its later years. One woman's family history and contributions to the waxing and waning of cinema in Mexico will be among the topics discussed at the El Paso Community Foundation's Jewel Box series this Sunday. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guests today are partners in film and marriage, Viviana Garcia Besny and Alistair Trimps, have explored the rise and fall of the Mexican film industry and their family connection to that industry in their previous documentary film, Perdida, and their new project hopes to capture the allure of film as a medium on collectors and cinephiles. Good morning to you both.
Hi, thanks for having us here.
Yeah.
I know you just arrived last night from, Mexico City. You've come up for the weekend for this presentation, but you have a lot of connections here to El Paso that you found through your films, and we'll get to that. But I first wanted to start, Viviana, to discuss a little bit about tomorrow's presentation at the Philanthropy Theater, which is next to the Plaza Theater downtown. You and your cousin, Monica Lozano, a
yes.
local born yeah. and raised photographer, will both be presenting topics under the title Fascinating Eye on the Border. Tell us about that.
Well, probably many people around here have seen the photograph of Monica Lozano. She is mm-hmm. a fantastic photographer, and she has a fascinating eye on the border. And at the beginning, I thought, well, how do I fit into this fascinating eye on the border? Because she obviously makes it that very clear with her photographs. But then it's like, you know, tracing back to the origins. Mm. And our great-grandfathers, like, they started into the film industry 100 years ago when the film industry was, like, starting. And so it's like this is going to start with the story of these two men, José U. Calderón and Rafael U. Calderón, who were two brothers that were very close, and they were at the same time very different. So they joined together and they started like having small movie theaters mm-hmm. and then that moved into production and into hundreds of films that they both produce and their sons. So because I met Monica a few years ago, I didn't know anything about her. So when I met her, I felt like in a way it was like we were doing in a modest way what our great grandfathers were doing, hmm. you know, like getting together, being a team.
And now, when you two met, did you already know that you shared a family history?
Monica didn't know anything about that. I went to present the film to the New York Film Festival, and I knew
this is Perdida.
That's
your
Perdida, exactly. And Monica was living at the time there, so I sent her a Facebook message because you know we were not friends or anything. Mm-hmm. And I told her, well, you know, I know that you're part of the family. And since you're in New York, I would love to come for you to come and see a little bit about your family.
Wow.
Through this film. So she arrived and she didn't recognize me because my Facebook profile was as a Catwoman. So she was looking for a Catwoman. And but somehow we recognized each other, which was also like very strong, you know, to recognize somebody that you don't know. And at the same time, she felt
the family
so familiar.
Connection somehow yeah. bridged that gap.
Exactly.
Alistair, you were talking before the show about when the family gets together, you've married into this amazing family mm-hmm. with this rich history, but that this film Perdida really opened so many doorways for the family who only knew bits and pieces of this
absolutely,
history.
Absolutely, yeah. It was a very active family, and they were instrumental in building up the Mexican film industry over two generations. But that was actually lost with the previous generation to us mm-hmm. Because the Mexican film industry all but died out in the 80s. So Viviana and Monica's great-grandfathers and their children had done a lot to build up that industry. And then the following generation, so Viviana and Monica's parents, weren't involved in this. Mm-hmm. So the story didn't really get passed down except in small fragments here and there. Mm-hmm. So really, the sense we got when we were researching for the film and talking to people is someone knew a little bit here, someone knew another different little bit there, and the job of making Perdida was piecing that all together. So when Monica and Viviana met, it was really kind of a rediscovery of a past which had helped to make them who they are, but they didn't know that it had helped to make them who they are.
And at the same time, it's a rediscovery of family. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for this project, I mean, we wouldn't have this amazing family that we have at El Paso. I mean, we came here researching.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, the family here, it's so amazing. We
Your
love them so much
tree
that
just
we,
grew when
we
you got can, here.
We
yeah.
keep coming. And, you know, having Monica into this new family for me, it's fantastic because I, for the first time, I feel like I have someone that is like equal to me in a sense that we can talk about the same things, share the same passion. And that was fantastic.
Part of that story of the Calderones was that they started out in theater ownership and then moved into distribution and actually producing films. But a number of their theaters were right here in El Paso.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. There was, like, next to the place where we're going to give the talk, it's the Cine Colón. Mm-hmm. And in front of El Cine Colón was the Cine Alcázar, which they nicknamed El Calcetín, the sock, because it smelled very bad. There, we have these fantastic letters from Rafael to José. Rafael stayed at El Paso, and José was in Chihuahua. And they are asking each other, you know, we really need to find a very good deodorant for the movie theaters. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people cannot stand being there for a whole hour.
No, they were absolutely. They started out as theater owners, and they at one point they had we counted them. At one point they had 36 theaters throughout Chihuahua and South Texas, the El Paso area. And I think that was very important to what they then built up. And that's a pattern you also see in the very, very early Hollywood studios.
Yes. If
you start out as a theater owner, you know that what's important is bums on seats, yeah. you know,
so
getting the
you
people
you start creating the content for those theaters.
Exactly.
And that's what led them, I guess, to film producing was the idea that they needed to control the product that went into their theaters?
Absolutely.
First it was distributing and then producing.
I think a very important thing was when movies got sound.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because that made a huge difference, you know. The Latino audience in the States, they couldn't understand the films. Mm-hmm. They were, like, they tried to make some subtitles, you know, with a Casasola house photographer, which is next to the
Right,
Colón
here
Theater.
In El Paso, they had titles made in Spanish to be intercut into the film.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
But still, you know, they felt like those films didn't spoke to the Latino audience, so they had to move into production. It was not because they wanted to make films. It was because they needed to make films that they started. So they got together with another very important character into the Mexican film history, who is Juan de la Cruz Alarcón. And they got together and they made the first sound film in Mexico, which is called Santa.
Mm-hmm. And Salta. That was in the early 30s, I think.
31, yes.
31, yeah.
Which is really just barely the beginning of what would become the golden age of Mexican cinema. Most people don't think of Mexican cinema as having a golden age, but there's incredible films that were made in the 30s and 40s and even into the
50s. Absolutely. Yeah.
So was the family swept up in, I know in the 50s and early 60s there was consolidation, there was a private group that was buying up all of the theaters and distribution. And then it was taken over by the Mexican government almost wholesale. Is that what pretty much drove the Calderones out of the business?
Out of the theater business, yes. Yeah. They remained on the margins of the theater business. But by that time, they'd already branched into production, as you mentioned. Bibi was saying they were driven by the need for more Mexican films. Their audience was Mexican, whether in the U.S. They were the main distributors of Mexican films in the U.S. at a time when, little known fact, there were 500 screens throughout the U.S. which showed Mexican movies exclusively. And they were supplying those films to those screens. So they needed a flow of Mexican films which didn't exist. So one of the two brothers went down to Mexico City, which is where the production was, to boost that production. And they did that by building studios, paying for new films through distribution advances, and really, with a hands-on approach, helped to build up the Mexican film industry. So even though they were in the 50s sidelined out of the theater business, which was taken over first by a private monopoly that was then taken over by the government, by that time they'd already moved into many different fields of the industry.
So. But I gather that some of those films they were making, or many of them, at one point from watching your film, Viviana, you were not overly proud of some of that history, but you've come around full circle to really embrace your family's history.
Absolutely. You know, I love art house films. And my family just made the opposite. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I had this strange feeling about my family's films. But what I truly understand with this film, with this documentary Perdida, is that my family was making films for the people.
Yeah, for the masses. Exactly.
They wanted to have the movie theaters full. So if it was... They needed to make films about rancheros and shooting guns. They will make those films. If they needed to make films about beautiful women dancing, they will make those films. And, you know, in fact, some of these films that were made for the masses are actually pretty good. You know, it's just, it's also in the way how we revisit our past, which makes actually a big difference. And I think that's very important because, you know, people writing history about film, they go to read what the big critics or what the big author of the era wrote, and they kind of rewrite the same thing. So in a way, I think it's good to see these films with our own eyes today, revisit history, and we're going to see them in a very different way that they were seen many years ago.
You two have become the repositories of a lot of that physical history. I know that you recently got a lot of the actual film and files from that rich family history and tradition, and you're creating an archive of those in Mexico. Well, I'm so glad that you're here back in El Paso to talk about your family history with your cousin, Monica Lozano. You'll be at the Philanthropy Theater tomorrow at 2:30 discussing both of your work and your shared histories. I also want to thank Sally and Norma over at Impact Programs of Excellence who have put together this program and brought you both together again in El Paso. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Charles, because I don't know if people around knows, but you're helping us a lot with our next project, and your input is it's been just fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. My guests have been Viviana Garcia-Besny and Alistair Trimps, partners in Film and Life, whose 2009 film Perdida explores Viviana's family history and its role in the Mexican film industry of the 1930s to the 80s. Their latest project, titled Shadow Collectors, will explore the qualities and allure of celluloid film as the medium becomes quickly obsolete. Viviana Garcia-Besny and photographer Monica Lozano will present their work and thoughts as part of the El Paso Community Foundation's Jewel Box series at the Philanthropy Theater in downtown El Paso tomorrow, Sunday, at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are $16 and available at the Plaza Theater box office. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.